Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the CollectingCast.com podcast with Chris Harris and Edward Lovett.
Hello, welcome to another Collecting Cars. Well, not a podcast, it's an update. Edward and I are going to have a little chinwag over the Zoom because we haven't had a chinwag for a while, and also we haven't recorded any podcasts for a while because I quite like doing them face to face, and with current guidelines I don't think it's responsible to do so, and no one will sit within 2 meters of me anyway. So hello Edward,
you've got your
AirPods in. I'm going au naturel in a room. So how's it going? Tell me about the fortress collecting cars, which continues to grow.
It's good. Very busy. Well, I am in the office because my wife won't let me put this up on the kitchen wall. But you know, we are busy. I think you know it's. You know, I wish I was in California or Australia where we've got the weather on our side, because lockdown, poor weather, Brexit. You know, it's still all against us in many ways, but we still seem to be forging forward at pace. We had a great January, and February's off to a brilliant start. We sold a DB5 last night.
Talk us through the Singer, because the thing is that we seem to have cars that come through and are talked about. There was a 720S, 600LT famously, which really put us on the map probably 7-8 months ago, but the Singer is the one of this month, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'll go back a little bit on that, because there was a bit of controversy around the Singer, because it was felt that I owned that car, which I didn't, and it was also felt that I guaranteed the owner a number on the car just so he listed it on the platform, which I absolutely didn't. I did own the car. I owned it at the beginning of 2020, and I sold it to the current owner. And he'd bought another property and was keen to sell the car. And we'd been trying on International Collectibles, which is sort of exists but doesn't really exist anymore because it doesn't really have a purpose. And he messaged me a couple of weeks into January to say, you know, what's the plan? What are we going to do to get this car sold? And obviously, I don't want to give in and say, well, I've failed. Sorry. So I said, look, I think the best thing to do is stick it on Collecting Cars. And to my surprise, he was like, fine, okay, no problem. Well, if you're happy to take it on at that reserve, then let's do it. So we photographed it, we got it listed on the website, and 75,000 views later and multiple bidders, the car sold for £690,500, which was a considerable amount more than I was asking for the car at International Collectibles, which, you know, to a certain extent, I'm sat there thinking, how does that work? You know, I've advertised it and I haven't sold it. What have I done wrong? And the truth is, a bit of a surprise, but hard work. There's 26 of us now in the team here. You know, our job is to make sure if you list your car on Collecting Cars, we put it in front of an audience that are going to bid on the car. And that audience is not necessarily an audience that's sifting around Piston Heads, Auto Trader, Cars.com, Classic Driver, you know, the websites we've all loved. You know, these aren't guys that are looking on those websites to buy a Singer. They've come to our website, maybe looking at a 205 GTI, and they've thought, oh, shit, there's a Singer. I might bid on that. 300. Oh, I've been outbid. 400. and they get in this moment. And, you know, to demonstrate the intensity of the bidding on that particular car, you know, we had five bidders on the car over £600,000. And within 48 hours after we'd sold the Newcastle commission, two of the underbidders showed interest in buying a Singer. So I called a client of mine who I sold a Singer to last year, made him an offer, which he accepted. And we used the buy now function of Collecting Cars to break the record we had broken, you know, 3 days before, which, you know, so almost $960,000 is the equivalent price that we sold the Somerset commission for.
So
it was amazing.
So a couple of things that come out of that. First of all, well done. Second of all, Singers really are quite good news, aren't they? This, I think the resto mod thing is only going to get bigger. The appeal of a car that has modern day reliability, some robustness to it, but is actually quite analog and beautiful as well, is just becoming more and more pertinent the more supercars become irrelevant and everyone looks around and thinks there's too many of them and I don't really get them anymore. I think you'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, that, you know, we know we've seen with Alphaholics and Eagle and Twisted, etc. You know, there's some brilliant products out there, and there's also a huge difference between the best and the rest. And you know, I'm fortunate enough to own a Singer and have had done 15,000 miles in it. You know, it's not the same as driving a 73 2.7 RS that's sort of a bit ratty. You know, it's a very special thing, you know, fit and finish, but also, you know, the machine they built, the performance, the mechanical element of it. You know, you know better than me, Chris, or as well as me. You know, they are incredible pieces of kit. You know, it's the hats off to the team in California for building such an amazing product.
Last thing that comes of it, and I have to say, I have to ask this, and I think this is when I view Collecting Cars as just a dispassionate puncher that likes seeing the eye candy. When a car sells for 690 grand, don't you think all we take is 6 grand? Shouldn't we have made that a percentage? Because you must be sitting there thinking, well, we're selling some quite expensive cars now.
Well, if I have that conversation day in, day out. So we sold the DB5 last night. Beautiful car. I think it sold for £633,500. You know, the guy who bought it through a company, so he'll be able to get the VAT back on the buyer's premium. So his 5% buyer's premium, £5,000, he paid 0.75% buyer's premium. And the question is, are we charging too little for that? And the answer is no, we're not. Because for us, we put the same energy and effort into selling a 205 GTI as we do a DB6. So, you know, we write a description, we do our due diligence when we're consigning the car, we arrange the photography to make sure it looks the best it can possibly look for the seller. So whether we're making £500 off a 205 GTI or £5,000 off a DB5, you know, the effort is the same. So I don't feel we need to charge any more than £5,000 at that top end.
No, but it does look... It does look like a remarkable value proposition when you look at the way that world works, isn't it?
Our competitors, you know, the traditional competitors in the UK would be taking, including VAT, 15% out of that DB6 last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, £90,000. Over £90,000. Yeah.
But I have to say...
And Chris, that's a buyer's premium. Most of them try and... take a seller's fee as well, sign them up to pay to enter the auction. You have to wait for the next physical auction. You know, it's dead. You know, I'm sorry, but it is.
The big rarefied stuff is always good for headlines, but I have to say, it's the It's the ordinary tackle that I'm interested in at the moment. So on the site at the moment, there's two things that I keep looking at. There's that very leggy M5 Touring, the V10 M5 Touring, which just looks like it's been to the moon and back and should have a sticker on it that just says this thing has rabies. But we all want, everyone wants a V10 M5 estate. And also one that's done miles. I always think, well, it's been looked after and it's had some work done to it. I just keep, and it's in that lovely dark blue. What a car. So last night I'm just sitting there going, and should I have a little, or maybe a little, oh.
I just made a note of to the moon and back, by the way. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, and the other one is that gorgeous Avis Blue E36 M3, the 3-litre car that's on there. I'm a bit BMW at the moment. There's something about those cars. That's the most critically unacclaimed M3 in history. When that car came out, I remember Performance Car Magazine slammed it. I remember Autocar slammed it. Everyone thought they were expecting this successor to the E30 M3. And I bought a couple years ago. They're some of the best cars I've ever owned. They are built like tanks. Single Vanos, so the Vanos never really goes wrong. Quite a slow steering rack. That engine, 286 horsepower, original M3 engine, the non-Evo, is an absolute tank. 5-speed gearbox, so that's strong as well. Don't forget the gearbox casing of the Evo is the same size, but they got 6 gears in, ergo the gear cogs aren't as big and as strong, so they're just underrated. And they the steering is a bit slow, and they don't feel like a racing car, but what a thing for 10 grand. God.
Does any of that matter, the steering, slow steering? Is, you know,
I remember doing the old laughing at the magazines and saying, well, you know, steering feel. Who sits in a pub and talks about steering feel? It's like, you know, you're just a beardy weirdo. And I got in one for the first time and I went, Jesus Christ, how much lock do you need just to go around a corner? I mean, it does feel like it's from a tank. But the rest of the car, so those are the two that are winking out with them. But there's some interesting stuff on there. And of course, you're now showing the country of origin, because there was some frustration for those first couple of weeks when Australia went live. People would go, oh, that looks really interesting. Melbourne? Where's Melbourne? Is that near Dorset?
No, we did have that. You know, the Australian auctions we started putting onto the site in the middle of December, but we knew they weren't going to end until the 4th of January. So, because obviously we needed some time to just get eyeballs on the site and to promote the fact that the cars were now going live in Australia. But over the Christmas period, I guess reflecting on it, it wasn't a lot of complaints, but we had a lot of people saying, how do I filter out Australia cars? obviously, as of a week ago, last Monday, we've got the new filtering and locations now listed on the website. But what was ironic, in the first 2 weeks of the Aussie cars ending in January, we sold two of the Aussie cars to the UK and we sold two cars from the UK to Australia. So I know it might not seem it's appropriate to you, but, you know, our curation. You know, we want you to be able to feel comfortable if you're in the UK bidding on a car in Australia, Abu Dhabi, Germany. You know, we can help you with shipping and tax advice, etc. But, you know, why shouldn't you consider buying a great car in Australia if you can't find the right one here in the UK?
No, makes sense. So yeah. What tickles your turkey this year then? What are you looking at? What do you think is good? What's bad? I think almost all supercars are bad news. Would you agree?
The market still seems incredibly resilient. You know, the pace at which cars are selling is good, but it does all come down to price. You know, the buyers are super smart now. You know, they're very well informed. You know, all the data's there on the internet for you. I think many people are in WhatsApp groups and Facebook groups, so you know they know the value of a 2018 812 Superfast with 8,000 miles in yellow.
What is it, Edward? Come on, what is it today? We're 2nd, 3rd of February. What is
that
price?
That car's $199,950.
Retail?
Yeah.
Same thing for you, isn't it? But so that's a lot of value for that car, isn't it?
I, you know, you like the F12, and I haven't spent any time in an F12 to know, and I haven't spent any time in an 812, to be frank, but an 812 is a car that I fancy. it does seem like they're on a downward spiral. However, Ferraris have always been, you know, they get to a point where, as a new model, they depreciate heavily, but they all get to a point where their residuals become quite robust because they're supported by the bottom end of the market. You know, a 360 is 60 grand. So, you know, a 458 is going to, or sorry, a 430 is going to be 90 grand. A 458 is going to be 110 grand. A 488 is going to be 140. So an F8, you know, is going to be a bit more than that. And they sort of, they manage it. They get to a level and they manage each other. So I'm wondering, you know, a good late F12 is still 150, 160,000 pounds. So you would have thought, you know, an 812 with 2 years left on its warranty, 3 or 4 years left on the amazing service packages they offer, you know, they've got to be a pretty good buy at, you know, very high ones.
Yeah, I'd have thought so. I'm just gonna close my curtain, Edward, because I started to look worryingly white then.
Just do that. See if that just makes me a bit less.
That's better. Right.
Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful.
I totally agree with this sort of, there is a stability point for every brand. Ferraris, I suppose the older the brand, the more established they are, the more easy it is to spot those positions of stability, isn't it? You know, it's easy to have this discussion about Ferrari and Porsche, but around Lamborghini, I find it more difficult because I think they're a bit more up and down. I think they've played a different game. So if you asked me a question about pretty much any Porsche, I could give you a steer. But if you said to me, what's a SVJ worth now, I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, Porsche, you know, we almost don't even need to talk about Porsche because that, you know, that market manages itself. You know, if you price your car well, it'll sell like that. It's as simple as that. You know, there's no, it's very transparent, that market. You know, Lamborghini, I've got to say, I'm still a Lamborghini fan, and I owned an Aventador, as you know, which actually I loved at the time. And I still look at them now. That market does not seem to be moving at the moment. But historically, residuals are very high. But it seems to me that everyone's, you know, pricing their car probably 10, 20% too high. I think if those prices were to drop down 10%, you would start seeing traction in the market.
Yeah.
I think generally people are just watching the market, waiting for it to come down.
So, You recently said you had a few spaces in your underground car park that you wanted to fill. Come on then, you've got three spaces to fill. You need a sports car, so you need something that you would drive for the sake of driving. You need something to pose in, and you need something old. What are you going to go for?
What am I going to go for? I would like a, and it's the conundrum is how long we're going to be in lockdown, Chris, because I hate having cars that I can't drive, and that's the reason I've sold everything. But I think I would like a 280 SE 3.5 convertible with floor shift from 1971, ideally in factory black. That's a car I've always
What are they? 250, 300?
They're a lot. and it depends if they're in Europe or America. But you know, if the one
on the site at the moment, where's that?
We're hopefully going to sell that car, but that car's about €225,000.
Okay, where is it?
Yeah, it's a lot of money. It's in Germany. It's in Germany.
Is it?
That's a column shift, not a floor shift. So I would have had a run at that car, and it's also not its original colour.
Yeah. Okay.
What else? So there's that. I think I fancy just a very simple 911, whether it be a 2 litre or 2.4S or 2.2S or 2 litre S or something like that. Narrow body, yeah. 374. I think I hanker after one of those again. And what was the other one in your list of must have?
Well, you've got two old ones. You need something new and quite fast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Why did I sell that black 911R?
Several cars of yours I don't understand why you sold. F40, I think you shouldn't have sold that. The 911R, and the other one is that black Speedster you had. Well, that was lovely car.
I know. But if I had if I'd had that black Speedster in the garage since October, when would I used it?
Well, in fairness, I think you could apply that to many car users in the UK at the moment. We're not living in normal times, but yeah, I get it. If you can't use, I'm like you. If I can't use something, I've just had, I feel the green shoots of recovery now, to use the cliche. So I've just bought an E21 323i, which I'm going to just make it look quite pretty and use this summer. I've got a few other bits and bobs planned. But like you, I've sold a few bits and bobs because I just didn't like, you know. I've sold my 1M because I didn't see any point in having it at the moment. So I didn't put it on the site. I actually got an offer from somewhere where it was stored. So I just got told. So
the one car we haven't mentioned there, which obviously, we're online, Chris, we've got to talk about this, Yaris GR, do I need a Yaris GR?
Well, okay. The Yaris GR is a really interesting case in point because I think the life cycle of a car is a bit like the life cycle of a pop star. You go from being the thing to suddenly not being the thing, to from being cool to not being cool. And in a car, that can take a long time to go through the cycles. You know, the 964 RS was lambasted when it was launched. It was considered to be, what's the point? No one saw the point. And then suddenly they became very cheap because no one really knew what to do with them. And they were just track day slags that you met at the Nürburgring and no one else used them. And so one day you turn around, it's the most fetid RS of all. Everyone's paying $300,000 for them. I remember when you couldn't give them away for $25,000. The Yaris GR is that, but its life's been compressed into about 3 months. We knew it was coming and we were excited by it because we'd heard the ludicrousness of the money they'd spent on the mechanicals. Then when it arrived, we thought it was amazing. And everyone that drove it, whose opinion I trust, agreed with me that it's just an awesome bit of kit. And surprises on every level, and it is engaging and reminds you why supercars are a bit silly and what usable performance is all about. But then everyone was talking about it too much. It was just, there was this oversaturation of Yaris GR chat. And then every friggin' influencer said they were owning one and buying one. And then they started wrapping them and doing everything else. And suddenly, within about 2 weeks, you're going, do you know what? I'd rather not hear about the Yaris GR for a while.
Yeah,
it's really strange. It's almost the first car that's had a life cycle that's been compressed into a very small space. But the reality is, yes, you should. I'm going to borrow one for a couple of months.
Ian said I can come up and have a drive of his pimped out one, so I'll do that. I did a Zoom call with Damien from Car Guys TV the other day, just talking to him about from the customer point of view and the car salesman point of view. And we had quite a good conversation. And one of the cars we talked about was the 812 Superfast. And I think just thinking back to my salesman days, this when McLaren, the 458 and the MP124C were launched almost on the same day. And I was in Bologna. I remember the hotel I was in. I remember the customers I was with. And on the screen came up the McLaren. They launched it knowing that all the customers were in Italy for the preview of the 458. So we saw the car. Took a fucking year or something for the first ones to be delivered. So, not only do we need to hear the press waffling on about them for the year, and then you get a 3-year waiting list. So by the time you take delivery of your 458 or your 812 or whatever, every man and his dog's had one. Every journalist's driven one. Every influencer's sort of been filming one. It just it loses the specialness to it. And I hate that. I hate it.
No, I from a customer perspective, I can totally see that. And I think it's quite interesting that McLaren, with some very high-end stuff, made sure that customers got cars before anyone. Like, you know, that there was a customer driving his or her Speedtail before I drove the car for Top Gear. You know, and that's the right thing to do. If I'd spent £3 million on something, I don't want Johnny Dickhead from bloody South Wales, who's got a bald patch, driving it before me. Thanks.
Yeah.
So I get that. For me, the cars that are really interesting me at the moment, Yaris GR does really interest me. The M2 remains quite interesting to me because I'm not sure whether I'm going to change my comp pack, which I've done quite a bit to, for a CS, because there are a couple of CSs around. And even though I think they're such a similar car, I think in 5 years' time, because I intend to keep that car for 100,000 miles, maybe more, I think a CS could be worth a load more just by dint of the fact that it is the CS, not, you know, carbon roof makes no difference. So M2, the more BMW seem to be making a hash of things, the more I look to their immediate past and think, cool, they really have made some great cars in the last few years, but I just don't understand. That new M3 for me is just a dog's dinner. I just don't get it at all. And the other car that, of all the, I think, super, there's nothing Lamborghini's making that really interests me. Two-wheel drive Huracan, fine, but missed opportunity not to give it a manual gearbox, all that stuff. I think we go through phases of supercars. I'm not in one at the moment. I'm just, forget that. But 812 GTS, I don't know why. I just think the idea of a normally aspirated Ferrari with the roof that does that, I'm becoming old. You know, when the lockdown breaks, the idea of jumping in that and driving, just mooching to Rimini and going past as many vineyards as you can would be utterly joyous.
Well, shall we go half someone, which means the depreciation will be half. The only deal has to be that your fucking dog can't get in it. Because if it does, the roof has to be off, so his gases go immediately out the car.
Well, the driver can be quite squeaky at times as well. There's something about that is the kind of car that Ferrari does well. And it just gives you the experience, doesn't it? You just know it's going to be good.
Yeah, I've got to say, it's a car that winks at me. I, again, talking to Damien about, you know, the market being allergic to depreciation. I think, you know, that car's £350,000. You know, I can't see how you're not staring down the barrel of, you know, the best part of £100,000 loss. And that's a worry, you know. And look, they've done it with the SF90. There'll be many people that'll hate me for saying it. You know, an SF90 with an Assetto Corsa pack and, flirting with your dealer and Ferrari for over a few bottles of wine in Italy whilst choosing the £50,000 paint that you should have because you'll be the only guy with it. You know, it's £525,000, £550,000. I think today, you know, they've only just started delivering them. It's a 300-something thousand-pound car.
So why is it? I
could be totally wrong, but I just think, you know, they've got more and more expensive. And we bitch about Porsche and not being able to get a GT3 RS and selling them to the wrong people. But, you know, a GT3 for £150,000, you know, it's a total bargain. Total bargain. And why shouldn't people be paying £50,000 over list for them? Because you'll have more fun using it and less depreciation than pretty much any other car in the marketplace.
So ours have slightly calmed down now, haven't they? They took a bit, they dived a bit, but I think they're sort of leveling out. Touring seem to have found their footing in the UK, but in America there's been a bit of a push for a couple of Tourings just sold for over $200,000 over there, which is weird, if you ask me. Mine's probably worth about £35,000 because it's done so many miles and it's got largely eaten interior. But I don't care. I'll never sell it. I just think that's they get it right. They do. The Porsche seems to get it right with those cars.
Yeah, and it's, you know, for me, a lot of it comes down to price.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Was it that car guys chap that had the rant about Porsche trying to get a GT3 out of the dealer?
In all fairness, what made me contact Damien is because you and I talk about this a lot. You know, he went into his local Porsche center that's now owned by a PLC. Salesman's gone. you know, all those conversations he's had for the last 10 years about buying this and buying that and being looked after is gone. You know, you deal with a new salesman. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, if you buy that Panamera Turbo that I can't sell, you know, we might consider you for the next something. And, I, and my frustration with that, you know, I've gone from being a salesman to a customer in, you know, in different parts of the world. That is how you're treated. And, you know, if you're about to spend 200,000 quid or it doesn't matter whether it's 20 grand, 200 grand, you know, 2 million quid, you know, you want to feel special. You want to feel remembered. And
well, I think, you know,
a lot of dealers are missing that.
Well, you reach a point in your life where you've probably been quite successful. And in other areas of your life, you're either a leader or you have people that look after you and are deferential to you. And you expect to be able to get what you want. And you walk into a dealership and you realize actually you're not the biggest fish in the pond. That, I think, you're managing a lot of ego if you're a salesman. But you know, I get accused of getting access to stuff. You know, I've been lucky; I've managed to get a few cars. But I, you know, it's not as easy as you'd think. As you know, I couldn't get a 911. And this is a car that, when it was launched, they cited my name as one of the reasons why they defined the car spec wise. I remember reading the interview, going, it's a bit punchy. And then I thought, oh, I'll buy one of those. No, you can't buy one. But you said my name in the. Okay, fair enough. But I got, you know, I managed to get a Touring. But I think I might be able to get one of the next ones, but it's not there's no guarantee that I get any of the cars. You know, I couldn't get a GT4 first time round. Lots of them I couldn't get. And I understand why, because frankly, there's people out there that have got a lot more money and buy a lot more Porsches than I do. So that's fair enough.
I that's where I just find the new game very frustrating. So it's far nicer to sit, you know, that's the great thing about collecting cars, you know. You can go on and bid on something. If you win, you own it. It's as simple as that. You know, you don't have to go and flirt with a dealer to try and get something.
So last thing I want to say is I haven't got enough problems in my life. You know me, but I like to have a lot of problems in my life. You're privy to a lot more of the personal issues that other people won't be. But I want to buy a 456 because I just want a car that's going to be like that dog that just walks down the road trying to fuck people's leg. I've actually got one of those already. So, but I want a 456 Modificato manual. And I just want to try and use it as a sort of semi-daily and just see how terrible it is, because it's a lot of money to buy, but equally you could have a journey and an adventure in a car like that for less than the depreciation you'd have on, you know, for owning an 812 for 2 months. So I just think it would be great fun to do, be a good story. So hopefully we can find one between ourselves. There's a couple for sale out there. I'd love to get one through Collecting Cars, obviously, because it'd be really good fun. But it has to be a Modificato, because I just prefer the way it looks. But I can remember trying to buy one through a dealer, and they wouldn't finance the car for me, not because it wasn't eligible, but because they just couldn't face ever seeing it again. Genuinely wouldn't. I was there with money saying, can I buy this car? And they went, no, because we know it's going to come back with window droppers, failed head gaskets. And we never want to see it again. We don't want to make the money out of you now.
We sold an automatic black on black right-hand drive car, 456 on the site. And the guy who bought it's on Instagram, and he I can't remember what he paid. It was not, you know, it was like 22 grand or something like that. And he's going on a real journey to make it perfect again. You know, it's a huge amount of car for the money, isn't it?
Well, it is. And for me, that's part. Once you get into that zone, your expectations are so altered. It's like the M5 Touring. You know, it's a V10 M5 Touring done 110,000 miles. You almost don't care how bad it's going to be. You knew. You went into it with your eyes open. You'd almost be disappointed if it didn't shit itself. So, no, I think there's lots of fun out there. And I just hope people can get out there and enjoy their cars and start to enjoy motoring again. But as we all know, the chance to be a bit of a keyboard warrior and to bid on stuff and to swap stuff around during lockdown has been good. So I've got to go back to some homeschooling, Edward, I'm afraid, because I've got to go and do an experiment that involves yeast in a minute and not end up blowing stuff up.
Lovely. Well, have a nice day, Chris. Let's try and find a suitable guest to do something with soon for our podcast fans. Yes, lovely.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
See you later. Cheers. Bye, everyone.
Collecting Cars, the safe, smart, and simple way to buy and sell collectible cars. An online auction platform for the UK and Europe. Follow us on Instagram at Collecting Cars and also collectingcars.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.